I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
Time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Sally Postman. In the headlines, religious leaders continue to appeal to medical doctors to call off strike. Minister of Finance asks insurance industry to promote corporate governance as catalyst for GDP. Institute for Democratic Governance calls for renewed efforts to ensure effective use of foreign aid. Government appointed assembly members to the AMA dissociate themselves from action to impeach Mayor of Accra. Youth in Kaluu demonstrate to demand district for the area. Incumbent Cameroonian President Paul Biya secures expected landslide victory. And celebrations in Israel and Palestine over landmark prisoner exchange. First assignment by Baba Yakubu.
The General Overseer of the Global Revival Ministries, the Reverend Dr. Andrew Kofi, has added his voice to striking doctors to return to work. According to the man of God, human lives are so precious and must be toiled with regardless of the circumstance. Reverend Andrew Kofi also urged the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission to address the concerns of the doctors. He made the appeal when he addressed newsmen ahead of an International Miracle Conference which starts today in Accra. Government-appointed assembly members of the EMA have affirmed their confidence and support for the mayor of Accra, Alfred Vanderpoy, for what they say his hard work and development initiatives in his area of jurisdiction. A statement signed by the chairman of the group, Ni Ajebulante, also disassociated members from a proposed resolution that sought to pass a vote of no confidence in the mayor. Institute for Democratic Governance, IDEC, has called for renewed effort in using foreign aid effectively. A scholar in residence at the Institute, Professor Kwame Nsing, who made the call at the launch of this year's Global Campaign on Aid Effectiveness in Accra, said the nation has suffered a huge setback in its development due to misapplication of foreign aid. He therefore called for a collective responsibility and proactive measures to curb the situation. The youth in Kaluu in the Upper West region are demonstrating to press home their demand for Kaluu to be made a district capital. This follows the recent splitting of the Nadole district into Dafiama Busie Issa district, with Issa as the capital, while the existing district has been renamed Nadole Kaluu district. Meanwhile, the Deputy Upper West Regional Minister, Cesar Kale, has appealed to the people to bear with government as it sorts the issue out. And preliminary results for Cameroon's presidential election show a widely expected landslide victory for incumbent President Paul Biya. A member of the National Vote Counting Commission on Anonymity said the provisional results give President Biya 77%, well ahead of his main rival, John Ndi, who has only 10%. Meanwhile, Cameroon's Supreme Court has until October 24 to publish the validated results.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are to show.
Now the details. Religious leaders continue to show concern over the doctor's strike and its effect on patients. The latest to do so is the General Overseer of the Global Revival Ministries in Accra, Reverend Dr. Ampia Kofi. He urged the striking doctors to tamper justice with mercy and rescind their decision to continue with the strike. Speaking at a news conference to announce an international miracle conference being hosted by the church in Accra, Reverend Dr. Ampia Kofi said life is precious and doctors should not renege on their responsibility by laying down their tools. He appealed to the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission to meet the needs of doctors as quickly as possible, saying the two sides must compromise to ensure the speedy resolution of the impasse. Touching on the International Miracle Conference, which kicks off today at the church's auditorium in Accra, Reverend Dr. Ampia Kofi said Pastor Ayo Richard Jafo, head of the Nigerian Christian Council, will be leading the conference. He said Pastor Ayo, who is a renowned minister of the gospel and noted for powerful healing and miracles, will exhibit tremendous impartation to participants. Meanwhile, visits by Radio Ghana to the 37 military and police hospitals have revealed that the hospitals have complied with President Mills' directive to recall medical staff on leave. However, the hospitals are yet to invite those on retirement. This forms part of moves to ease the expected pressure by patients seeking medical attention, as doctors in public hospitals have laid down their tools. Our correspondent Eugenia Jimo, who visited the hospitals, now reports.
Following the President's directive for the police and 37 military hospitals to brace for the influx of patients due to the strike by doctors, a visit to these health institutions revealed that the pressure has been well contained so far. At a glance, the police hospital was the least congested as anticipated. I was informed that doctors who were scheduled for the previous night and this morning were all at post. Consultations started as early as 6 in the morning in order to ease the pressure. Speaking to the public relations officer of the police hospital, Chief Inspector Julian Obing indicated that the situation at the hospital was manageable. She explained that internal arrangements have been made to increase staff strength so as to handle the pressure. To this end, medical staff who were on leave or on training have been recalled to assist, adding that those on retirement are yet to be invited to come on board.
The situation at the moment is not very overwhelming. It is something that the hospital can manage. It is pressure that we can take. Records indicated that last month in the evening we have had up to 5 emergencies, and this morning we have recorded 3 emergencies and still counting, an indication that the pressure is still mounting up. Every other day after the issuance of the first on the strike, every day comes with its own numbers. It keeps on developing. As a hospital, even before the government's directive came in, we have had our own internal arrangement to soak the pressure that we anticipated we're going to have. And these include recalling doctors and nurses who are on leave, who have reported to us this morning. We have called back to the office paramedics and nurses who are on training at the police depot. We have also had to increase the number of beds at our OPD, the outpatient department. We are also looking up, mounting up tents to cater for still the extra beds that we will require. Apart from that, we have had some help from the Ministry of Health. Yesterday they were here, they brought us some donation and they gave us some consumable work, drugs, dressings, amongst others. And then again, they brought us some 10 people who are emergency medical technicians to help us out.
Some patients who spoke to Radio Ghana expressed satisfaction at the prompt care and treatment offered them. Although officials at the 37 military hospital refused to disclose any information, the atmosphere was not different from that of the police hospital.
It's as if the doctors are working, everybody's at post, and I came with my report and they said everything is okay. It's not affecting them that much. To me, it's not affecting me, because when I came, I brought my lab report and then I was attended to. It's only that the population is more than the doctors, because there are a lot of people there who need much attention.
I thought I'd leave as late as 5 in the evening, but that has not been the case. We have been well attended to.
Those were views of some patients at the Tuliza military hospitals, ending that report by Eugenia Jumo. Scientists continue to make advances in the search of a malaria vaccine. The first results released from a large-scale phase 3 trial of the RTA vaccine showed that it reduced the risk of malaria by half in African children aged 5 to 17 months. This was announced at the Malaria Forum in Seattle, Washington. The study was conducted at 11 trial sites in 7 African countries. The director of the Kintampo Health Research Center, Dr. Sedu Usweche, tells Teresa Usuakumor on the results.
We've had a positive result from the initial work that we have done. This is not the final results, but this is a big hallmark. And I can proudly say that the vaccine we tested, the initial results for the first group of children that we vaccinated gave us a 66% protection for clinical malaria. This is a partial version as we've been talking about all the time. We were expecting something around 50%. The result that we got from the fire, I mean, has been emphatic, is really what we expected.
You got how much? 56%?
56%.
But you were expecting 50?
We were expecting anything around 50. So I think this is...
How was the atmosphere like?
It's very exciting for the scientists, including myself. We know how worrisome malaria has been to our community members. Parents tend to lose children when they shouldn't lose them. And so if we are advanced into getting a vaccine, that half of the time we'll be able to affect the diseases, and for that matter, then we should be excited. And our sense is when you make a contribution to public health, you feel proud because you think that you have made a positive impact to mankind.
How many more results are we expecting?
Actually, as I mentioned, there are two groups of children that we have vaccinated so far. We started with children who were 5 months to 17 months at the point where they received the first vaccine. And this is the cohort that we have this resource for. There's a younger cohort that we also vaccinated. They were 6 weeks of which at the point of receiving the first vaccine. The reason we are particular about this area is that they are the ones that go for the routine immunization, ETI, as we call it. If it works in that group, then it means that we will just be adding the malaria vaccine as an additional one to the routine ones, like the penta vaccine and the polio vaccine that we give to the infant. So we are very particular about these results, but I must say those children were vaccinated later on, so those results will be available in years' time from now. The other thing we will be interested in is how long the protection will be. We would like to follow the children a bit longer. So the ones that we have results for, we'll be looking at them in a year's time and in 2 years' time. And the younger ones that will be getting the results next year, we'll still be looking at those ones. So actually the whole process will be completed in 2014.
Director of the Kintampo Health Research Center, Dr. Sedu Usweche, commenting on the results, the co-inventor of the vaccine, Dr. Jill Cohen, commended African scientists for achieving the success. He was optimistic that the vaccines, when licensed, will be accessible to all.
I have a plan to make the vaccine that we believe can produce as many as 30 million doses of vaccine a year, certainly by 2015. So I think there will be plenty of vaccine to start. And then, of course, if there's a higher demand, then we will have to build a new plant or increase the capacity of this one. But certainly, for 2015, we certainly will be able to cover what we believe will be the demand at that time.
Co-inventor of the RTA vaccine, Dr. Joe Cohen, ending that interview by Teresa Usuakum. Government-appointed assembly members within the Accra Metropolitan Assembly have dissociated themselves from a proposed resolution that sought to pass a vote of no confidence in the mayor of Accra, Alfred Okovandepoy. In a statement issued after a meeting in Accra and signed by its chairman, Nia Jebu Lamte, said the government-appointed caucus reaffirmed their confidence and support of the mayor in view of his hard work and development initiatives. The creation of new districts and sizing of their capitals continue to generate some uneasiness in a number of communities. The latest is Kaleo in the Upper West region, where the youth are wrapping arms by blocking roads to press home their demand that Kaleo be made a district capital. According to a statement from the local government ministry, the Nadoli district has been split into two, the Dafema Busie Isa district with Isa as the capital, while the existing district has been renamed Nadoli Kaleo district with Nadoli as the capital. An assembly member for Loho, Callistus Haruna, told Abraham Asari on Behind the News that Kaleo deserves a district.
I think Kaleo is now a big town. There's nothing going on now because of the intervention of the Star Police Commander. Our people have understood what he told us to do. The roads are being unblocked and vehicles are moving, but we are very much aggrieved, and we are going to meet tomorrow once again to consider the issue in total.
So before the police came, what exactly had you planned to do?
Not to cause mayhem, but just register our displeasure about the attitude of government towards the people of the Kaleo traditional area. I think we are never qualified to get a district or to have a district. And they know that by every criteria we are qualified because we have the land, we have the people, we have the facilities, we have a lot. And this is what I expected, that if anything at all, we are not saying that no place should be given a district, but we deserve a district.
Have you found out from the Minister of Local Government why you haven't been given a district and assembly at Kaleo?
But why that temptation to call out by a name today and tomorrow you think that we don't marry that name?
No, it could have been a mistake. So have you found out why?
A mistake that will be an unpardonable mistake to say that without doing due diligence you go to announce that we are qualified for a district and tomorrow you say that it was a mistake. Indeed, our people are on the ground and the information we are getting is that now, for example, you've taken the district from Kaleo, you are sending it to comparatively in every year, I don't think that it's
found out why the district has not been given to Kaleo.
I think that issue, to find out why it has been taken away, is neither here nor there. Therefore, I don't think we have to contend that issue. Anyway, by whatever means they decided to pronounce Kaleo as a district, it's a hoax, and that is why we think that we have been treated with contempt.
Assembly member for Loho in Nadoli Kaleo district, Callistus Haruna. Meanwhile, Deputy Upper West Regional Minister Cesar Kale has appealed to the people to bear with the government. He gave the assurance that the government will not neglect them when it comes to development projects.
In other words, there are a number of communities, a number of traditional areas who have actually yearned and cried for effective treatment within their community. And Kaleo, in fact, traditional area is one of them. I'm aware of the number of traditional areas, aware of the Western Bale area, CMC, and Isa area. Another place. But, you know, if we were to go by what the Federal Commission is seeking to do, if we were to go by the numbers of family increasing, apparently by our population dynamic, it means that we have not at all.
So what changed? What happened after the first announcement?
Just to think of it, they're not only districts. I think they might be so much appreciative of the fact that the government has added one more district to the Nadoli district. You know, Nadoli indeed has two constituencies. We have the Nadoli East and the Nadoli West. And in fact, at the time of even creating Nadoli district, it was very difficult as well to find over the years. Kaleo, traditional area, and the other areas have been lobbying for those districts. And sincerely speaking, I think the first announcement that came, I have been told, was more or less a mishap. So, government has to sit down again to reconsider so many issues and to realign this decision. And that is what actually came out today as the Kaleo Nadoli district. Fatima Bude is our district.
What is the name of this new district? Is it Kaleo Nadoli?
The new district indeed. Kaleo has not been left out entirely because it is Kaleo Nadoli district with a capital in Nadoli. And the other one is Buse Isa Fatima district with a capital in Isa. And I think that in spite of what has actually happened, our brothers and sisters in Kaleo to actually come to terms with government. If you temper justice, we know that the place that it has come out clearly, it came out earlier on that now Kaleo was going to be a district capital, which is all over the news media. But today it has changed, and that's why I think that the senior leaders in the area should come to terms with government, because there were two sisters in one district. The East, the Nadoli East, and the Nadoli West, they were the two sister constituencies. And I think that as they grow, we should be thinking about bringing up the other sister apart.
Deputy Upper West Regional Minister Cesar Kani talking to Abraham Asari on Behind the News. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Religious leaders continue to appeal to medical doctors to call off strike. Minister of Finance asks insurance industry to promote corporate governance as catalyst for GDP. Institute for Democratic Governance calls for renewed efforts to ensure effective use of foreign aid. Government appointed assembly members to the AMA dissociate themselves from action to impeach Mayor of Accra. Youth in Kano demonstrate to demand districts for the area. Incumbent Cameroonian President Paul Biya secures expected landslide victory and celebrations in Israel and Palestine over landmark prisoner exchange. We'll be back.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
You're welcome back. A scholar in residence at the Institute for Democratic Governance, IDEC, Professor Kwame Nensen, has called for renewed efforts to ensure the effective use of foreign aid. He said the nation has suffered a huge setback in its development because aid received is not channeled into the appropriate use to achieve its purpose. Professor Nensen was speaking in Accra at the launch of this year's global campaign on aid effectiveness. He said the nation cannot afford to squander the aid it receives and called for a collective responsibility and pragmatic measures to curb the situation. The project officer of IDEC, Kojo Imprim, who assessed the activities of the Millennium Challenge Account MCA, suggested that the lifespan of the program be integrated into the District Assembly's medium-term development plan. He called on the government to involve stakeholders in the implementation to create awareness and support for MCA and MEDA programs for accelerated development. The Minister of Finance and Economic Planning, Dr. Kwabena Dufour, says the insurance policy must take a critical look at ethics and professionalism if it wants to make significant contributions towards the country's gross domestic product. He says the industry must initiate services that will build corporate image and reputation and also build public trust and confidence. Dr. Dufour made the comment in a speech read on his behalf by the Deputy Minister of Finance and Economic Planning, Seth Tekpe, at the launch in Accra of this year's Insurance Awareness Month. Antoinette Abba has filed the report.
Dr. Dufour noted that the 1.6% GDP insurance penetration is rather low. He urged the insurance industry to take their services to the rural areas and the informal sectors of the economy if they want to achieve greater heights. Dr. Dufour said despite the numerous challenges, the industry has made gains in the introduction of agricultural insurance. He welcomed the decision by the industry to pull its financial and technical expertise to bear on the management of the oil and gas insurance. The president of Ghana Insurance Association, Benjamin Akolache, said the high motor claims which the court imposed on insurance companies negatively affect their operations. He said the association will expedite action towards the adoption of the proposed small code that will place limits on bodily injuries and death claims. Mr. Akolache noted that the new pension regime does not favor the life insurance sector. Government must take a second look at issues relating to the third-tier pension scheme to benefit all. Mr. Akolache said steps have been taken to improve on the regulatory regime. These include the introduction of the insurance bill, insurance regulation, and code of practice, as well as the adoption of the international financial reporting standards.
Antoinette Abbe's report. The Alliance for Accountable Governance, AFAG, yesterday launched a campaign to solicit over 1,000 signatures in protest against the Electoral Commission's decision to go ahead with the biometric registration process without addressing certain concerns raised by civil society and political parties. The campaign is dubbed Register Once, Vote Once, Get Counted Once. This was made known at a news conference in Accra, addressed by David Opokwansa, Director in in charge of research at AFAG. He urged Ghanaians to be interested in the process and endeavor as individual citizens to ensure a society whose core values hinge on true freedom and justice. Here's a report by George Asekri.
Mr. Opoku-Ansa said AFAG is worried of the consequences of the EC's action, as any flaws in the new biometric system can lead to what he describes as a poisoned Ghanaian society. He said AFAG's main concern is the award of contract to STL HSV Genki Consortium, explaining that the contractor to execute the biometric registration does not have the National Institute Standards and Technology Certification, which is the highest certification for an automated fingerprint identification system. Mr. Ansa explained that STL Suprema fingerprint readers are certified, but it is meaningless if the AFIS provided by Genki is not certified, and wondered what use a robust fingerprint reader will be if there is no strong AFIS backend to identify fingerprint deduplication. He said per the procurement rules, when a company provides information and it is later found to be false, the contract shall be redrawn. Based on that, Mr. Opoku-Ansa called for a review of the contract awarded to STL and its partners, since there appears to be a substantial doubt about Genki's claim to be a certified provider of AFIS system. AFAC pointed out that STL's experience in health insurance registration cannot be a yardstick for the award of a biometric registration contract, saying there is every reason to doubt the capacity of STL, the leading consortium of three companies to deliver, because none of the partners has been involved in national biometric voter registration. Mr. Ansa suggested regular IPAC meetings, saying the situation where the EC meets political parties individually is unacceptable, provocative, and provides room for suspicion, which does not augur well for consensus building.
Georgia Secretary reporting. The Africa Watch magazine has again stirred controversy with its latest ranking of politicians in Ghana. The magazine rated 18 politicians with grade F, with only one, the second Deputy Speaker of Parliament, Professor Michael Quay, scoring an A. While some MPs have welcomed the rating, others have dismissed it. In an interview on Behind the News, Professor Quay said even though he feels elated by his A grading, there is still the need to look at how the grades were arrived at.
It's nice for someone to say something good about you generally. And I would rather not go into certain controversial areas as such, except to use it as an occasion to encourage young politicians generally to work towards commitment and also realize that this is a public service. So we trust that it will be a source of encouragement to all of us, particularly the youth.
So then it is a reflection actually of the kind of politician Professor Michael Quay is.
But I've not even seen this publication, you know. I've only been told a few things about this in the media. But I'm a very, what I would say, analytical person. And I think it's worthy of looking at this analytically. And people are entitled to raise issues as to how this is actually done as a whole. Whatever is worth doing is worth doing well. So I think we should all look at this more critically later.
Second Deputy Speaker of Parliament, Professor Michael Quay. The intended demonstration by students of the University of Ghana, Lagos, to protest against high school fees has suffered yet another blow, as the Regional Police Command has rejected their new date. The students had earlier wanted to demonstrate yesterday, but the police managed to secure a court injunction restraining the students because of disagreements over the route. The students wanted to start the demonstration from their campus using the main Lagos 37 Accra route, but the police said that could worsen the already bad traffic situation on that stretch and proposed that the students rather start from your bright spot at the Kwame Nkrumah Circle. The students disagreed and called off the strike. However, they have again written to the Regional Police Command asking to be allowed to carry out their demonstration on Friday, but that has also been turned down by the police. The junior common room president of Commonwealth Hall, William Takiyaboy, said the students feel frustrated and intimidated, that are resolved in their determination to protest until the fees are reduced. We'll be back.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
Preliminary results for Cameroon's presidential election show a widely expected landslide victory for incumbent President Paul Biya. A member of the National Votes Counting Commission said on anonymity that provisional results give President Biya 77%, well ahead of his main rival John Fru Indi, who has only 10%. The member of the commission pleaded anonymity because it is only the country's court that can announce election results. Meanwhile, Cameroon's Supreme Court has until October 24 to publish the validated results. Jubilant crowds in Israel and the Palestinian territories have been celebrating the historic prisoner exchange. Israel released hundreds of Palestinian prisoners, allowing those to go back to Gaza and the West Bank in exchange for the return of its soldier Gilad Shalit. Sergeant Shalit is spending his first night at home since he was snatched by militants in a cross-border raid 5 years ago. Now here's Ibrahim Kwati with the editorial.
We feature only the Daily Graphic. The Daily Graphic lauds government for launching a project to revamp the country's coconut plantations. The paper says, apart from being a source of employment for thousands of farmers in some communities along the coast, coconut is also used as medicine, cooking oil, and other industrial purposes. The Graphic finds the government's intervention timely, since it will go a long way to restore the country's lost coconut plantations and the livelihood of farmers who have become despondent as a result of the devastation caused to most coconut plantations by the Cape St. Paul wilt disease some 22 years ago. The paper urges government to assist in developing the value chain of coconut to derive maximum benefits from its economic potential. That was editorials of the Graphic, read by Ibrahim Kwatin.
Now the main points of the news again. The General Overseer of the Global Revival Ministries, Reverend Dr. Antia Kofi, has added his voice to call for striking doctors to return to work. According to the man of God, human lives are so precious and must not be toyed with, regardless of the circumstance. He made this passionate appeal when he addressed newsmen ahead of an international miracle conference which starts in Accra today. Government-appointed assembly members of the AMA have affirmed their confidence and support for the chief executive of Accra, Alfred Van der Poy. A statement signed by the chairman of the group, Nia Jebulante, also praised the mayor and associated members from a proposed resolution that sought to pass a vote of no confidence in him. And preliminary results for Cameroon's presidential election show a widely expected landslide victory for incumbent President Paul Biya. The news was presented by Sally Bosman in Accra.